Hello and welcome to Matt's Truck and Grep podcast. So tonight it's Matt with my mate Alex Broadley. Now Alex is a new member of the team as such. He's a familiar face to many people, I dare say. But we're just going to introduce him and have a little natter anyway. So good evening, Alex. How are you doing?
Hi, Matt. I'm doing okay, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'm not too bad. Not too shabby.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, so you're parked up for the night somewhere?
I am. I'm parked at Birch Services tonight. You know, not the best of places, but it will do it. Fills a gap, doesn't it?
Needs must. It could be worse. I'm sure you could be at Cambridge Services.
Yeah. Well, I quite like Cambridge Services. You know, I parked down on the coach bay there, and it's all right.
Yeah, you don't get any hassle being in the coach bay.
No. You know where the old lorry parking used to be.
Yeah,
that's coaches now, isn't it, or something?
Yeah.
But they've got that all new bit on the other side where you go in, and it's always pretty full.
Yeah,
I just go straight down to the old bit. Still parked down there.
Oh, fair enough. Well, that'll do.
But it's also got a GDK, German Doner Kebab shop now.
that's the main reason you like going there.
yeah, German Doner Kebabs, yeah. That's fair enough. After a hard day's work, Doner Kebab.
Yeah, there always used to be a kebab van just the other side of like the main interchange at Cambridge, and where the Tesco's is, and the name is escaping me now.
Bar Hill.
Bar Hill kebab van.
Yeah, Bar Hill used to be a good stop, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think you can park down there anymore. I think they've stopped it, I believe.
It's been years. I used to stop there years ago on my way to Dover on a Sunday, and I go into Tesco's, get a few bits and stuff, you know, before Cambridge Services was built, you know. Yeah. There was a bit of a gap between Cambridge Services and Alconbury shutting, weren't there, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I always just go down to Bar Hill.
Yeah, no, fair enough, yeah, because we were talking about Alconbury recently, weren't we, and that was a really good stop. I always used to enjoy going in there when it's a BP truck stop.
Do you know what? It was a good for Leeds. It's a good halfway stage, do you know? Because when I first started at Longs of Leeds, first started driving, you know, we used to load out of Silvertown, TDG at Silvertown, flat pack furniture for Argos. And we used to load out of Tilbury with Reels, Felix those with Reels. And all three places to Alconbury was an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So you could be on the phone to your mates. Oh, yeah, I'm just leaving now. Like, yeah, I'll see you at Alconbury. And it could be Felixstowe, you could be Silvertown, Tilbury, whatever, and you'd meet at the same time.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah, it's a great halfway stop for Leeds, for the ports and stuff. Brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic. So to just sort of take us right back, how did you get into truck driving? There's a family connection there, isn't there, I believe?
Yeah, my dad's always been my hero for driving trucks, like, you know what I mean? He was into European in the 70s, and I went with him, and it was just, there was no doubt about anything that I was going to drive trucks.
Fair enough.
I really wanted to be a European truck driver like my dad, you know, and I've done it. I always turn around and say, Matt, you know, like, that, I've got my T-shirts. I've got more than some and less than others. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Other people might have better quality T-shirts, but I'm happy with what I've got.
Fair enough. So what did you do when you left school? Obviously, you couldn't go straight into truck driving. So what did you do when you left school?
I did an apprenticeship in a steelworks as a plater welder.
Yeah?
Did it for 6 years and that. And then...
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did, but...
Just not what you want to do?
No, not really. I would have stayed, but they shut the factory down.
Oh,
you know, I honestly would have stayed. But they shut the factory down in 95. They shut down all seven big engineering factories in South Leeds, all with big layoffs.
Right.
So I ended up going down to Southampton, working in the shipyards down there, which I know that I did love. Loved working in the shipyards, living in Southampton, bought a flat down there and stuff. That was really good.
Yeah.
But again, that's all gone now. They shut all that down as well.
Yeah, fair enough.
I worked in the dry dock in Southampton, yeah.
Yeah. So what sort of age were you then? Sort of early to mid-20s?
Yeah. I left school in 88. No, I moved up to Leeds in 88. So I left in 89. I worked at Clayton's in the steelworks till October 94. December 94. Then I went down in Southampton, middle of 95, came back in 99.
Yeah. Fair enough. Is that when you actually took the plunge and did your licence?
It is, yeah. Yeah. I bought a flat down there, made a few quid on it, and I thought to myself, right, it's now or never.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I did it. I got through it all right, you know. It was failed Class 2 once, second time. I did it in Wakefield, people know it, and the bloke there was really good, you know. If you failed it the first time, the second time he took you out, he'd only test you on what he failed on last time.
All right.
Yeah, he wouldn't test you on anything else again because he knows you can do it. You know, he wouldn't be too critical on that.
Yeah.
So I got through the second time. The first time, he actually took me round to school at 3 o'clock at kicking out time.
Brilliant.
So, cars double parked, people all over the place. And, you know, it was one of those situations that he said I was too hesitant. But you were never going to win.
No, you're not. No,
you were never going to win.
No, that's it. Just one of them, isn't it?
Second, on me, class one, I thought I'd failed it before I even got out of the test centre. Got down the road and I says to him, I said, look, can we just go back? And it was a woman examiner this time. She said, well, what do you want to go back for? I says, listen, I've now failed. It's really hit me confidence, you know, and I just want to go back, to be honest. She goes, right, listen to me. She says, get your head back in gear. She says, you haven't failed. I've marked you down.
Yeah.
Right? But you haven't failed, and so far you're doing okay.
Right.
Get your head back in the right place.
Yeah.
And let's carry on and see how you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I passed it first time.
Oh, nice one.
Mm.
I think usually, like, if you think you've failed your test, you kind of relax a bit into it, and it makes it a bit easier, and then... I've spoken to several people who've had that. I've had it myself as well. I thought I'd failed, and just sort of, never mind. We'll just carry on driving. Might as well enjoy it whilst I'm here, you know. So
Make most of it, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. Because that was with my bus test. I actually went up a curb, and I was a driver trainer at the time. Although I'd only driven a bus for about a day and a half, if that, I think. So. Just coming to a junction, I've done dozens and dozens of times with the truck because the bus, you're sitting in front of that axle, it turns slightly differently. As I went round the curb, from up it went, and I was just like, oh, God, no. So anyway, I was just So anyway, we carried on. I didn't even get a minor. When we finished, he said, well, I think you've passed. And I was thinking, well, I don't. He said, you just went in that junction a bit quick, didn't you? So it's like, well, yeah. And that was it. Yeah, passed.
That was a right relief.
So.
That was 50 quid well spent, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I wish it was 50 quid.
Yeah, yeah. In that brown envelope, that's why.
So anyway, we digress. So once you passed your test, where did you find work straight away, or was it a bit of a job?
No, I went to Longs of Leeds.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, do you know, I've always had this attitude when I've been looking for jobs and stuff, you know, just go and see them.
Mm-hmm.
Go and see them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I went up there, and I can remember I went up there and I says to lady, I said, look, I'm looking for a job, you know, I've passed my test, whatever. And she says, all right, okay. She says, can you fill a form out? I says, yeah, if you don't mind, I'll sit here and do it, you know. So anyway, I filled this form out and this guy came out and he was walking past. He went, yeah, all right. I went, yeah, good, thank you. Are you? You know, just being polite.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, yeah, not bad, thanks. Anyway, went in to his office, whatever, to the offices. And I was halfway home and the phone rang and it was actually Chris Long, who I'd seen.
Yeah.
And he says, do you want to come back for an interview and that? And I says, yeah, yeah. He says, why do you want to work here? I says, well, look, it's the most well-known fleet firm in Yorkshire, like, you know. Says, might as well start at the top and work down, don't I? So, he gave me the job.
Yeah.
It was a bit, do you know what, right? It was a great learning curve, as long as Leeds.
Yeah.
But I was never fully into it. He wouldn't put me in the Arctics because
right.
I'm gonna hold my hands up, right, that I can't drive ridges. I keep crashing them into things.
Right.
Things get in the way. You know, reversing,
jump out
the
overhang.
Yeah, that's it. They do. It's a pain. I can't drive ridges. Even like if people say drive this, I said no, that's not for me. That sit me in an Arctic, I'm absolutely fine. Rigid, I'm absolutely no good. But then he wouldn't put me on the Arctics because I kept bumping the rigid. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I left. I went to work for my mate. Did a bit of work for him for about 2 or 3 months, and then I went back to Longs. And he put me in the Arctics there, and it was great. It was brilliant. Loved it. I had a super space cab, P Reg one.
The old Leyland DAF super space.
Yeah.
They were quite unusual at the time. There wasn't that many companies running super spaces with the Leyland DAF, 95, was there, really?
Yeah, no, there weren't, no. I think he had about 3 or 4 of them. He had an NREG one, which was the first in the country, I think it was. N133 GYG, I don't even know why I know that. Mine was P142 PWT. Great truck it was, absolutely brilliant. Yeah. I had my Philly curtains in, me CB in it, breaker, 1.9.
Oh,
all that crap.
Yeah,
loved it, you know.
A hell of a cab, though, weren't they?
The country.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, do you know, I remember I was sat in Perry Bridge with my mate Martin once, And I says, bloody airlines on this truck. Everything's the wrong way round, you know, like at the back, you know, they keep crossing over and getting tangled up. And he pointed to this FL-10. He says, he does nights out in that. He's away all week in that. And you're in a Super Space Cab. I went, oh, yeah, I am actually, yeah.
Can handle a few cross airlines.
Yeah. But do you know what, mate? People say, oh, I'd have that truck in an heartbeat and all that. I actually would have that truck back in an heartbeat. It used to go like hell.
Yeah. Right? Comfortable, spacious.
In. Yeah. And do you know what, mate? It didn't have all this electronic rubbish in it.
No. 16-speed ZF box, was it?
My favourite
ever gearbox, that ZF.
Me too.
Four over four of a split, just wonderful.
I can still remember the gear changes now, do you know, starting off in second high.
Low. I would always start second low, fourth low. Then I'd probably jump up to fifth high or fifth low, depending on the weight.
Fifth low, six high, and then I'd use all the gears after that, do you know?
Yeah, and just that iconic sound, that changing gear.
Yeah.
Just absolutely lovely.
Yeah, I know. I love that gearbox, do you know, I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
I think Longs have now been sold, haven't they? I think someone owns them.
The thing is with the Longs family is they're all lovely people. Do you know? They're all nice people. But they've all reached an age. Do you know what I mean? And nobody was there to take it over. No, it was all handed down. Chris Long's granddad started it all, handed it down to him. He had a lot of brothers. They all worked there. And they've all got to an age now and they want to retire and they've got nobody to hand it over to. Yeah. So
they had to go, basically.
Yeah, they sold it to Expect Distribution.
Which is a shame, but that's just... It happens with so many different companies, you know, all over the place, you know.
People don't want it, do they? No. People don't want the hassle and stuff, you know.
I can't say I blame it most of the time, to be fair.
I mean, Expect are saying that, from what I gather, that they're going to keep the name and all that sort of stuff. They'll only do it for so long. You know, it's like Kalina with Stobart's, wasn't it? You know, that, we'll keep the Stobart name. No, you won't. Yeah. No, you won't. Let's just be honest.
That's it. That'll soon be gone. So
Evie Cargo with Downton's all the same, isn't they?
That's it, mate. That's it. So it's just, I love the phrase that it's the mosaic of transport and how it evolves and adapts. So that's just sadly the way it goes. So what happened after Longs? Then obviously, you know, you must have,
it was awful.
Or do you...
Do you know what, mate? So one minute, right, I'm in this Super Space Cab, right? Everybody else is in FL-10s and P-Cab Scanias, and I'm king of the road, ain't I? You know, I've got my frilly curtains, and it's all going on, innit, you know? It's all going on.
Yeah.
Right? And then I get married, right? So I get married in the end of September. Coming up to November, she says to me, not working out, this is it. That's what you mean, you know, like you being away all the time. And I did marry somebody to be working away all the time. I thought, well, I was working away when you met me, you know what I mean? I was working at Long's End, you know?
Yeah.
So, my dad was at Freightliner in Sturton in the container base, and they're actually on, it was on more money than what I was being at home on a night,
right?
Doing more regular hours and everything like that than what I was getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was it. I was sort of press ganged out of Longs of Leeds into Freightliner, and it was just, mate, you know. I lost my Super Space Cab to a flat top FM-12.
I mean, I suppose if you're doing day work, it doesn't really matter as such, but even still.
Yeah, I know, but I just wanted to be king of the road still, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was
exactly.
At that age, you know, I just made it in my life, you know. I've always wanted to be a lorry driver, long-distance lorry driver, and I was like, yeah, this is it now, this is me, you know, and then suddenly, bang, no, you're not, that's it, that was that gone.
Yeah. So what was the FM? Was that 12-speed manual? Was that
But then I went from being all over up to Scotland, down to London, to just doing containers around Leeds and Bradford.
Ugh.
And it was just, you know, like 6 till 4. And I was just like, all right.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just like a factory job, essentially, isn't it?
The bonus of it was literally 2 minutes from my house as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just, I managed it for about 18 months, tried something else, went back. Tried something else, went back, because it was always just, I went back to it because it was just a good job. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when I was there, do you know, I was only in my early 30s at this point, and people were saying, oh, you've got a job for life here. Do you know, it's because in them days as well, Freightliner was just coming out of that part of British Rail system.
Yeah.
So you had all the pensions, the bonuses, and you got this, you got that, you know, and they said, when you retire, you'll get all this. I said, bloody, I'm 33, you know what I mean? 32, something like that. I ain't bloody.
Do you know what?
I'm 65.
Yeah, too right. Do you know what? Paul Rowlands had exactly the same thing when he was working for the government in the tax office, I think it was, in Ipswich.
Yeah.
But he always wanted to be, sort of always wanted to, you know, drive the trucks and whatnot. And when he finally sort of handed his notice in, there was some old boy who's about 64 or something or other, said to him, yeah, you know, look at what you're, you know, you've got a job for life and a pension and blah, blah, blah. And Paul sat there thinking, looking at this guy thinking, why would I listen to you and sit in this office for the rest of my life just to have a nice pension, you know?
Yeah, I know exactly that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So after that, what did I do then? Let me think. God knows what I did after that, Matt, you know?
did you finally get some European work?
Well, my dad finished on European and he went to Freightliner. Mm-hmm. So he got me in there eventually. But I used to go with him when he was at Devaney's, T.W. Devaney's in Leeds.
Yeah.
The one I was self-employed at the time, right? You know, when we was all on that one with the flat rate VAT scheme and all this sort of stuff going on. And I was looking for a bit of work and I thought, do you know, I'll get my own customers, looking for a bit of work. And I thought, I was in Cross Green, so I thought, I'll go down and see Steve and John. Straight away, they remembered who I was, everything. Yeah, come on in. Do you know what I mean? Come work here. I was like, all right, it'll be the rate in that. Everything was good rate. I was happy with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I started there. And I was there on and off for 4 years. It was a really good job. I really enjoyed working for Steve and John. You know, I really did. And I think I might have been there a couple of weeks or something like that. And he gave me they used to do a job out of Muscron down on the Belgian-French border down in Lille.
Yeah.
Right. And it was AdBlue. So, you know, when you go to the garage and you get your 10-litre AdBlue thing, they used to load it out of there and take it to Brentag's around the country.
Yeah.
So he gave me a job down to Giel in Belgium. It was one IBC. So I tipped that down to Muscron, loaded the AdBlue, came back in. Then I'd run back out empty, collect another load of AdBlue, bring that back in again, and then I'd go home, you know. So that was my first job going out to Belgium for them. Like, you know, it was a good little job, that. Good little job. And then I went on to doing France. And eventually I went on to the Swiss run, Switzerland stuff, you know, which I love Switzerland. Loved doing that. Loved it. French stuff was good. I liked the French stuff. They used to do a run over to West France. And basically you'd ship out of Portsmouth. I hated that boat, Brittany Ferries. Bloody hated it. Right?
Yeah, sharing a cabin all the time. And
food's
crap.
What?
Yeah.
In the end, right, I'll be honest, I should stay in the chuck.
Yeah.
I didn't bother going up.
Yeah.
I actually worked it out that if you get on early enough, you can get up to your cabin, have a shower, and back down into your truck before everybody else gets in. Do you know what I mean? So I used to do that. I used to stay in truck. Do you know? I couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
Sharing a cabin and all that, you know?
Yeah.
So we'd go out on a Sunday, then on Portsmouth or was it Plymouth sometimes down to Roscoff or Portsmouth to Caen.
Mm-hmm.
And then work your way around Western France and that, end up at Les Herbiers down in France, Ziegler's, reload out of there. And then they wanted you to go back up to Caen for Wednesday's night boat. But sometimes, you know, like I used to run back up to Calais.
Yeah.
Right. And they used to get the right up with that. They didn't want to pay the mileage and stuff like that. But I just didn't want to share a cabin either. So there we go.
Yeah. You know?
But then they'd send me into Portsmouth. And then getting off the boat in Portsmouth, anybody will know, it's an absolute nightmare. It takes you hours to get out of
forever.
Portsmouth.
Yeah.
But then they'd run you around to Maidstone to do your first delivery. I ain't doing that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm just going up to Calais instead.
That makes much more sense, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But working like for Steve and John was brilliant because I used to get back about Friday lunchtime and you just leave your truck outside. You go in, see them, there's my paperwork. They'd bring it in later on. They'd tip it. They'd load it. They'd strap it. So when you come in Sunday, all you'd do is jump in the truck and off you went.
Off you went. Oh. Bloody hell. It's not often you get bosses like that, is it?
No. John himself used to bring it in and tip it and all that sort of stuff, get little tips,
get
all loaded again, ready for you to go out the following week.
Yeah, brilliant, fantastic.
Job. Brilliant job. I loved working for them.
Yeah, because that's another name that's gone now, isn't it, Devaney's? Yeah.
Same again, mate. Same again. Steve and John got to that age and had enough, wanted to retire.
No family wanted it?
Nope.
And that was that?
No, nobody to give it to, and they inherited it off their dad when he passed away and stuff. They always worked with their dad and when he passed away, Terry and that, then they took it on and they got to an age, 60, I suppose, something like that, and just wanted to cut their losses and retire.
Yeah, did they just sell the lot? They didn't sell the business, they just finished it?
Shut it down.
Shut it down,
that's it, they had a bit of land in Cross Green as well. They used to rent out and that, and I think they just got rid of all of it and that, and just
off into the sunset.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, right? The trailers, just all they would have done was take them out to EMR and dropped them off there.
Yeah.
Right? All that old scrappers. But Chuck's all right and that, you know?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, Volvo. It was a great job, was that?
Volvos, weren't they?
Yeah, Volvos, yeah.
Yeah, super job. So what happened after Devaney's then? Back to Freightliner?
No. I don't know, to be honest. I can't quite remember. Was it was it around about that time I retrained to be an electrician?
I think it might have been, actually.
Yeah. I retrained to be an electrician. I did that for about 4 or 5 years.
Did you enjoy that?
No.
Constantly getting electric shocks.
Do you know what, mate? I don't know if I can say this, really, to be honest.
We'll just say it about swearing.
No, I was working in council houses, social housing.
Yeah.
And these people, right, they didn't go to work, right? And they were getting new kitchens, new bathrooms, new roofs, new windows, the whole house rewiring, the whole new plumbing, you know, radiators, boilers. And there's me having to graft and go to work. And I remember once, right, this woman having a go at me about something. And I said, hold on a minute. Who are you to talk? Tell me. Right? I'm working here to pay for a new kitchen myself. You're sat on your ass here getting it all for free.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, that was it. I got in trouble for that. Right? Then another guy, we had... There was also bloody... They were so cheeky. This bloke had an extension. So he says, I've got this extension. I've wired the sockets myself and all this. I said, all right, yeah, okay, yeah. I says, listen, mate, we're not allowed to do your extension. All right? But what we'll do is we'll check it all over, right? And we'll wire it back in for you. Do you know what I mean? And just we won't say anything to anyone. Do you know what I mean? You just carry on having your extension and we'll do what we've got to do. But, it'll be fine. We'll make sure it's all up and running before we leave. Oh, great, thanks. Well, then he have us back. I'm not happy with this socket here. I want it moving. Right, okay, so he'd move the socket for him. Come back here. You've got to go to that bloke again. Go back again. In the end, I pulled him. I said, listen, mate, we've wired your extension up for you, aren't we? He says, yeah. I said, right, I'm going to disconnect it because you're taking the piss.
Yeah.
All right. I said, I'm going to disconnect your extension now. I've had it out, but you've pulled us back here 3 times. So no, everyone price work.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going back for nothing.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I said, I've had enough of this, mate. You know, I says, you're taking the mick and that, you know. Oh, no. Don't worry about it. Everything's okay. Don't worry. Everything's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it would be. There we go. That's that sorted.
Yeah.
But it was just moaning, you know, moaning. Oh, I've just put this carpet down. You're not going to lift it up, are you? Well, yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm going to lift it because I need to go under your floorboards.
Yeah.
Oh, I've just had this carpet. Well, I'll pull it back down again.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, it was a nightmare. I hated it. And because we're on price work as well, we just got run into the ground.
Yeah.
There was two of us. And in the end, the thing is with a council house, I know a trucking thing, but they're all the same on the estate, right? Mm. They're all the same design, right? So once you've rewired the first couple, you know exactly where the joists are, where to lift the floorboard, where to chuck your cable in, where you're going to... So you can get your time frame down. The first one's going to take you 2 days. By the time you're onto your fifth one, you're going to knock them out in a day, right? But you are running and we was topped up on Pro Plus, on energy drinks, anything else. We even tried Ethergen at one point. God, that was, we were on fire that day. But... everything just to keep going and just burn out in the end. Burn out.
So is that actually less stress driving the truck then?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That was it. I just went back driving trucks and that. I went to.
Wasn't Higgins at that point, was it?
I worked at Campy's at CLB when he only had 8 trucks. It was only him and 8 trucks. I was on the glass doing the glass work. That was about 5 months worth of work.
What was that like then, doing that glass? Did you have one of them elephant trailers?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah.
It was all right, you know. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was a bit dubious at first. I was thinking, oh, how's this work? And you've got to do this, you've got to do that. But it was okay. I got into it and I enjoyed it, you know. I used to do a lot of Newton Abbots and Scotland, a bit of Ireland and stuff like that. It was all right.
Yeah.
But it just came to an end purely because of Christmas, you know, and nobody wants new windows at Christmas and conservatories, do they?
Yeah.
So they don't need all the glass. So that was the end of that.
This episode of Matt's Truck and Grep podcast is proudly sponsored by Creasy Drainage. If you're dealing with blocked drains, flooding or drainage problems, Creasy Drainage is a team to call. They provide professional drainage services for homes and businesses including drain unblocking, repairs, septic tank emptying and CCTV drainage surveys. They're known for fast response times, honest advice and getting the job done right the first time. For reliable drainage services you can trust, check out Creasy Drainage. The details will be in the show notes.
Oh dear, I ended up working for our mate Shuttle Spanker, didn't I?
Oh yeah, RMC.
Yeah, RMC. But most of us did on Shop Connect, didn't we? But most of us end up there at some point.
Yeah, we're not talking about ready mixed concrete either with RMC.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, Rob Colliver. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I saw him a while back. Didn't speak to him, but he was working for that firm down Stafford area. They do tippers with Mercedes and that with the red stripes on and that.
Clark.
Somebody would know.
NS
Clarks.
Yeah,
NS Clarks. I saw him coming out of scrap metal works.
Yeah, I've not seen or heard from him for well over a decade now, I'd say. Been a long,
long
time.
No, I haven't. But I worked with Lark, remember Lark, don't we?
Yeah, Lawrence Bulldog. Bulldog, not Bulldog.
Yeah.
Just in case people misheard. Yeah. I do message dear old Lug now and again.
Yeah,
yeah. He's on a fridge down in Kent for Gotham's.
Is he?
Yeah.
And then Disaster, Darren Chaps. Still friends with him on Facebook and that. He's a good bloke, you know. We used to laugh, me and him, on the Wincanton and stuff, like, you know. Because that's what we were doing with boxes out of Felixstowe for Wincanton's, and that was a really good job.
Yeah.
Really good job. We always used to wangle it, so we start like midnight on a Friday morning, so we could get back to the yard for about 10-ish and go home, you know, beat the traffic and that, you know, because basically the yard was in Milton Keynes. I was living in Leeds. Not Milton Keynes, it was at Leicester, wasn't it? That was it, Leicester. I was living in Leeds, and it used to drive Spanky mad. He used to go ballistic, you know. You know, you're not getting back too early, you know what I mean? So, well, we've done his hours. We've done what we've been asked to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we used to wangle it. We had our feet well under the table at Wincanton's. It was a really good job, that.
Yeah.
Boxes out of Felixstowe and that, you know. Yeah. They get like two Alcon Vs to do in a day or something like that, you know. It was great.
Yeah, especially if it's on a day rate as well. The boss is laughing, aren't they? So
yeah,
definitely. I mean, perhaps at this point we should just put on as a bit of a tangent, because we've mentioned Trucknet there a couple of times. That's actually how we met, isn't it?
Many
moons ago.
I was thinking, Matt, you know, it goes back to about 2006, that, you know, 20 years.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Which, you don't think so, do you?
2006 was the year that I started the Trans Am.
Was it?
So 20 years ago, and that was pretty much my first ever post on Trucknet, which is now long gone because it was part of Truck and Driver and that whole world.
It wasn't
originally, but yeah, it just evolved over time. And there was some fantastic knowledge and people on there. There were some idiots as well, but you get that on every internet forum. But there were some absolutely brilliant, lovely people. And we even used to have a Christmas meetup, didn't we?
We met, wasn't it?
First actually met face to face. It was at the Truckers Rest, wasn't it? At Cannock.
Somewhat down there. One of those pubs, wasn't it? Not Toby Carvey, Premier Inn.
Yes. Yeah.
Longford Arms. I think it was.
I can't remember.
Yeah, the Longford Arms. I think it was or something. Yeah.
Barry Tozer was the man behind it all, wasn't he?
No,
Barry Tozer. Ricky Checker. Sorry.
Yeah, Ricky and Lucy.
Where did I get Barry from?
Chocker's World.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So
he's passed away. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Lucy Radley and Ricky Checker.
Yeah.
Were behind it, and
it was a great forum. That, you know, like Diesel Dave, he knew everything about ADR, didn't he?
Yeah. Very, very knowledgeable person.
Yeah.
There's loads of the old European stuff, things like that. Loads of great, great content, and again, loads of really good people like Lug. He was on there.
Yeah.
You know, our mutual friend Cole Curtin Sides. He was on there.
Yeah.
And just countless others. It was I think it's sadly missed Trucknet, I would say. Maybe looking through rose tinted glasses.
It got killed by Facebook, didn't it? Facebook came along and just killed all social media stuff
didn't it?
You know, forums.
Yeah, I guess so.
It just got killed by that. But it was good.
So we digressed to your world of transport. We're just trying to, I can't remember where we're up to now.
I ended up at Anthony Higgins.
Yeah.
Right. Now, that was a good job when I first started there. We was doing the work at Olympac at Featherstone and he said to me one day, he said, do you want to go up to Scotland? And that, I said, yeah. That was it. All I did was Scotland for about 6 months.
Lovely.
Every 3 trips a week, whatever, you know, up to Scotland with the takeaway cartons.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many takeaway cartons they get through in Glasgow, right?
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, my God, man. Do you know what I mean? I was taking a couple of loads a week, one to Glasgow, one to Edinburgh, you know, and I was thinking, they get through all these bloody takeaway cartons. That's
the deep fried bars.
Absolutely mental.
Deep fried bars and pizzas.
Yeah, every week. It weren't just like once every couple of weeks they'll get in a delivery. They'll get them twice a week.
Yeah.
But, so I did that. And he said to me one day, he says, because I used to do the truck shows.
Yeah.
It's Top Line Scania, do truck shows and that. And he said to me, I'm getting my first brand new truck. And I'm going to give it to you. And I went, oh, right, bloody hell. He says, what do you want? Do you want a Volvo, a Mercedes, or a DAF? I said, I like the Volvo. Do you know, yeah, the Volvo for definite? And he bought me a version 4 Globetrotter XL 540, all the alloys on it and everything, like it was mint, really good. And I did the truck shot. I did a bit of work to it myself, getting painted.
You weren't tempted by the DAF after your Longs and Leeds experience?
I love DAFs, mate. I love DAFs. I did, but I just think, I don't know with DAFs. I just think, ding, ding, ding. Do you know, it drives you nuts in the end, doesn't it? Ding.
But at that time, they weren't that bad for it, were they?
No, but do you know what, right? I loved Volvos after me. Volvos at Devaney's.
Uh-huh.
My version 2 at Devaney's, right, just never let me down. It just used to power on, do you know?
Yeah.
Just power on.
Mm-hmm.
It just used to keep going and going and going, right?
Yeah.
And it was a brilliant truck, and I just love Volvos. And I love Volvos, right? But I just feel like they've let themselves down. I feel like they've let themselves go a bit, you know?
Oh, really?
I really do. The version 3... was an amazing truck, and I think it deserves to go down as a legend of a truck, like Scania 111, things like that. Do you know, I just think of its time, the version 3 was miles ahead of everything else. Just reliability, the eye shift, everything, you know, it was just a great truck.
Yeah.
Right. And then the version 4 came along. It was just plasticky crap.
I mean, I
don't like it at all. I've just done a few weeks in a Volvo, and I'm just so disappointed by it. I just thought, living space in it is cramped. Do you know, everything's still plasticky. They haven't learnt. Do you know? I mean, we're going to do a podcast, aren't we, on truck interiors? So I don't want to give too much away of one of my rants, but I just don't think they've moved with the time. I think everybody's caught up.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, the one thing I've always found with Volvo is the bunk seems to be really narrow compared with especially with the DAF. I mean, I don't know about now. I think they've sort of got a bit better, but certainly before that. But you were getting the much bigger bunk in the DAF, but you were getting a lot less front impact protection. The Volvo was a much safer truck.
I don't drive like I'm going to crash, though, Matt. You know what I mean? I like to have a nice bit of space. Do you know what I mean? If I do crash and I'm going to rely on that bit at the front, I'm going to think, oh, by the time I'm realising that, it's going to be too late anyway.
Possibly. But also with the Volvo, whether it's like a version 2 or version 3, and even when you looked at the version 1s and whatnot, stuff was all just in the same place. You just knew where you were, and you knew it would work.
That's it. With the version 1s, 2 and 3s, you knew it was going to work.
Right?
You knew the truck you were getting. You knew what you were buying. You know? You were buying reliability. You was buying the eye shift was way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Right? And you were buying a good all-round truck, a solid piece of kit.
Right?
I just don't feel like that with the version 4s and 5s. I just think they're flimsy and just, not for me.
Yeah, I mean, I've driven an awful lot of version 4s and whatnot, but I've never really spent a monumental amount of time in them to really judge them. But I do enjoy driving them. I still think that the version 1 FH is probably my favourite of the FH range.
I've done
a lot of miles in them, and they're just a lovely, lovely truck. And maybe it's a bit of the old rose tinted glasses, possibly, but they're just, I don't think so.
No, even the manual Volvo, right, was a blinding bit of kit, but the eye shift was another level.
Yeah.
By the time that came out, it's brilliant. You know, don't get me wrong, I've got an X-Gen now, next gen Scania with obviously auto, brilliant gearbox, absolutely fantastic.
But Volvo were in there 15, 20 years ago with a really good automatic, and no one else was anywhere near. Because again,
they couldn't touch it.
No, going back to 2006, that was the first time I ever drove an auto truck. Because when I first started the Trans Am, my very first truck was a Mercedes Axor, which was manual. I had three weeks away. Then we went home for 10 days. And then when I went back out, I was actually given a DAF XF space cab, 6x2, and it was auto. And this auto was just, it's just the lag. As a lot of people
remember. Roundabouts.
Yeah. They're just woeful. Whereas with the Volvo, it was like you put your foot down and stuff happened, you know. And I think we're of the generation, and people who are sort of older than us, of the generation that when autos first came out, they, unless we were in a Volvo, they were generally terrible. They were just not really fit for purpose. Obviously now they are, and they're all much of the same, really.
Mercedes, I mean, don't get me wrong, the Mercedes had the EPS box, didn't they, in the 80s?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And so they're well versed with automatics, and it wasn't too bad on the old MP3s and stuff like that. But like you say, Volvos, DAFs, the AS-tronic, that's what they had, the AS-tronic.
AS-chronic, it should have been called.
Yeah, it was, yeah. You get to a roundabout, you think, oh, there's a gap on the roundabout. By the time the truck decided what it was doing, that gap had gone, like, you still sat there. It was awful. Absolutely awful.
It was, but...
I had them with Baitliner with 04HFD. Try putting a 29-ton box in the middle of the trailer, like, and then try and see how you're going to go with it. It was just a nightmare. But when I actually had the demonstrator for Freightliner before they got all DAS, when they had the Volvos, and they said, well, why don't you take the demonstrator out for a couple of weeks? I said, all right, yeah. So I took it out. And then when I went back and that, and they're waiting for it, you know, DAF and that representative, they said, how'd you find it? I said, yeah, brilliant. I said, but they said, you know, we've took it all over Europe. Right, it's been up Spain, been everywhere, that truck, you know, like I said, what trailer did it have? And they said, this Fidge trailer. I said, closely coupled and all that. Yeah, all the airflow was, you know what I mean? I said, what was it like with a 29-ton box in the middle of a skelly trying to slide it in the mud and wet? Oh, I didn't try that, did we? No.
Of course you did.
I think you did.
Yeah, of course you did.
What's your economy on? What's your fuel economy on a box stuck in the middle of the trailer?
Yeah.
I didn't think you're working that one out.
We won't put that in the press report.
No, we won't bother with that.
Yeah. So just going back to your... So it's a version 4 Anthony Higgins bought for you, or was it version 3?
Version 4, yeah.
So all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
Did a few shows.
You know, I loved it. Yeah, I used to do shows with it and stuff. Went a bit with it, and it was all right. Yeah, it was a beautiful truck, like, you know.
Yeah.
Really good truck. Mm-hmm. But, after that, end up going to somewhere else. I'm not going to mention that place. You don't deserve a mention.
Fair enough.
But it's one of those places, you know, you just think, never going back there. And I did my back in, I had a slip disc. So
I came and visited you, didn't I?
You did, yeah.
When you had your
slip
disc, yeah. That's quite a few years ago, wasn't it? Yeah.
And then I had a few months off with that. And then I went to Shipley Charles. Well, that was all right. Not a bad firm, working for Blair. You know, it's a bunch of ragged. Wants his money's worth out of you. But obviously I was self-employed with that again. And that was good. I enjoyed it there.
Yeah.
And then after that is when I started back on the European again. I went back on to Lehman's with Gavin McPherson and that, you know. Mm-hmm. They got me in there.
Yeah.
So see me at a show and Mick did, if you ever want to get in, give us a bell. And so I did. And I went to Lehman's.
Yeah.
And doing Germany every week, which was great.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I liked best out of it, mostly. The ferry on a Sunday night, coming back.
So
it was just
club.
Like meeting your mates. Yeah, it was. It was like going down the pub and seeing your pals. Do you know what I mean? It literally was. You say, who's going to be on this week? You go down to your cabin, you get on and have a shower, have a shave. After shave on, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Put on nice clothes and you go down, have dinner. Everybody sit around a table, have dinner together. Then you go down to the bar and watch the nightclub bit. You know what I mean? Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Fantastic.
I remember once we got on the boat, right, and I wasn't having a drink. You know, I thought, I'm not having a drink tonight. And my mate from Neil and Brown, Dennis Stillings, was on, and he said, you having a drink? I said, no, I'm not having a drink, Dennis, no. Anyway, the captain came on and says, due to weather conditions tonight, it's going to be really bad. We're not going to get it. You normally get into Rotterdam about 8 in the morning, your port, half 8. It's going to be half 11. You know, we're going to have to take it really steady, you know, try and get this storm out of the way, whatever you come out with, all that sort of stuff. So I looked at Dennis, and said, better have a drink then, haven't we? Do you know? 3 o'clock in the morning, I went to bed.
Oh,
3
God.
O'clock in the morning. We all stayed up. We're all wrecked. Do you know what I mean? 6 o'clock next morning. Ding dong. This is your captain speaking. You'll be pleased to know we've made good time and we'll be docking at usual time at 8:30.
Damn.
Oh, God. Yeah. God. But you know what, mate? I thought to myself, I'm sat looking at my coffee. I'm not having no breakfast. I'm getting off this boat and I'm going straight into the other port. Straight into the Pioneer down at the other port. Park up there. I'm going back to bed for a bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got off the boat, right, and I cracked a 4.5 hour shift out. No problems at all. Straight down into Germany. I don't know how I did it. But I don't know if I was just like in a hypnosis type of thing. Or, you know, like just like, just driving straight ahead and not focusing or whatever. But 4 hours, something like 4 hours, 28 minutes. Oh, that's more like it.
Did you enjoy going to Germany? Because it's...
I love Germany.
I've always loved Germany.
Yes.
But the traffic, and anyone who does regular Germany, that word Stau, which for those who don't speak German means queue, is just synonymous with Germany, isn't it? It's just so busy. It's unbelievable.
It's the crashes they have over there, don't they? Yeah. Do you know, like these queues? When you see them on Facebook, they're just obliterated, trucks after truck after truck.
Yeah.
And they have a big thing in Germany, don't they, about driving too close?
Yeah.
And like I was once coming down into Germany, through the border at Holland, and the police were there, and I was too close to the truck in front, and I knew I was, and he watched me as I went past, and I saw him, and like he went past in his car. Right, and this is what they do a lot. He went past in his car a few miles down the road. There he was again, parked at the side of the road. And I'd backed right off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And as I went past, he gave me a little thumbs up, like, because he'd parked there watching me to make sure I'd backed off, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because the crashes that are over there are just massive. They're not like little bumps. They're actually people getting killed, destroyed, trucks piling into each other.
I think a lot of it comes from, because there's an awful lot of no overtaken zones in Germany, so you're not allowed to get out whatsoever. And I think you just end up getting in a bit of a trance, just sat behind the same pair of trailer doors. I think that's generally what it is. You just switch off because you don't mean to. You just can't help it. Mm. And so all of a sudden, when a car decides to come out the slip road in front of you just because they want to, because they know there's going to be a gap or lack of a gap. You know, the truck in front brakes and you're just not paying attention because you've switched off and you're bang, you're straight in, and then the one behind you is doing the same thing, and it's just a concertina effect.
I love doing Germany, though, I must be honest. You know, all the countries I've done in Europe, I do really enjoy going to Germany. Southern Germany, I like that, Bavaria.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, used to do a lot of Munich around that area, Nuremberg.
Yeah.
And I used to love going down there. We used to load down Mike Toberdorf or something. It's right on the Austrian border. You know, we get the cuckoo clock type houses and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. I loved it down there. Really good.
Really good food as well. Really friendly people.
Yeah, the Autohofs and that, you know.
Yeah,
and
just fantastic facilities. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved it.
I mean, they have the same parking issues as what we do, with a lack of space, even though it's a much bigger country, but it's such a... Because you've got everything from the east coming through to the west through, you know, it's a corridor country, isn't it?
It's a transiting country, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's a transit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is. It's transit. They've got coming up from Austria, which is Italy. You've got the Czech. You've got Hungary, Romania, everywhere around the outside.
Poland.
Yeah.
All the Baltics come through Poland into Germany.
Yeah.
Onwards. Yeah.
Before, obviously, the Russian-Ukraine thing, the Russians used to come across. You get round to Berlin, it was like a bloody racetrack with them Russians. They used to drive maniacs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know, but it was I love doing Germany. I'd love to go back doing Germany, but it's just, again, there's nothing left for it now, is there?
So, not really, sadly, no. As I said earlier, that mosaic has changed once again, hasn't it? So As we know, and I'm sure most people will know, that sadly the Lehman thing changed as well.
Yeah.
Because it was Maru's, and then Lehman's bought Maru. And that's kind of all ended now, isn't it?
Do you know what? It's very sad, Matt, because they've got nothing left of Maru. Nothing left. They've got one bloke who works in the warehouse. That's all they've got left of Maru. They've got no work, no drivers, no office staff, no nothing.
It's just all gone.
All gone.
Yeah. That is a shame.
They blew the lot, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I'll tell you what happened. We had a lad that worked in the office, Richard Sugden, Suggy, right? And he'd started after school in Maru.
Yeah.
Right? He'd worked, and he loved Maru, you know, like it was his thing. And he used to go out getting work and doing the office and all that. And he wanted making up into a manager at Lehman's. Yeah. He was promised it.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't do it. In the end, they negated on the deal, right? Yeah. And he went to my logistics and he literally took all the work with him. Right. He had it all in his head. Yeah. All in his head. Yeah. And he went around all the customers, right? I'm at my logistics now, and took the whole lot.
Yeah, he's one of them sort of, I don't like to use the term old school as such, but he's just one of them guys who know he'll be personal with the customers, and they,
yes.
even if he's more expensive, they know him and they know that he'll get the job done. He's just one of them guys.
He was a brilliant bloke to work for, you know. Yeah. I had a great working relationship with Suggy, absolutely great working relationship. I loved it, you know, and it was brilliant. And obviously, they shafted him up, so he shafted them up.
Yeah, that's fair enough, isn't it? That's business, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. So,
and I ended up at Yeardley's. I end up at Yeardley's? I stint there. That was a brilliant job. I loved that. That was a good job.
Doing general haulage for Yeardley's?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I didn't do the event stuff, and I just did the general stuff, you know, which general cargo, which I've always done groupage, you know, I've always done groupage, you know, multi drop. So I really enjoyed it. Yeah, loved it. But obviously, COVID, that killed that off, didn't it?
Yeah, as it did with a lot of people.
Yeah, literally. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah, literally as well, yeah.
Yeah. And then it's just potted about since then. And I'm back at Mark Lee's. So been at Mark Lee's now 2 years.
Yeah.
Back on Lehman's.
I was going to say, yeah, ironically pulling Lehman trailers.
yeah, I'm subby to Lehman's and that, which it's a brilliant job, right? Yeah. It's an absolutely fantastic job. You know, I've got a good planner there. I've got my feet so far under the table at Mark Lee's. I've got my knees under the table and all. Do you know? Yeah. It's it's a good job. But yeah, on Lehman's, get everywhere. I've been up to Scrabster Harbour.
Yeah.
I'm going Monday, I'm off down to Lost Whistle in Cornwall. Red Roof, London, go everywhere, like, you know.
Yeah. Is it nice just doing UK tramping now?
It's a bit like European work, to be honest, because it's all dock work.
Yeah.
It's as close to European work without going abroad, because it's all trailers off Immingham docks. It's coming from Scandinavia and Denmark.
Yeah.
So you still do groupage, and then you're still loading, travelling to pick up stuff to go to Scandinavia and that, you know. So then you're dropping the trailer back on Immingham Dock. Then you're getting another one to go somewhere else. So it's really good, you know. It's all right.
Yeah, lots of variety.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. It is good.
Yeah.
Excellent. And I won't be leaving here now, mate. This is going to be me now. I've got about 8 years of working left in me, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I want to retire or go part-time when I'm about 62-ish.
Yeah.
Right. Go part-time, maybe. Do you know, have a couple of months off, have holidays abroad, and come back to maybe 2 or 3 months, and
just earn enough to go on holiday, basically.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Because I've got a fiance now, like she loves her holidays.
Yeah,
and that's what she wants to do. She wants to buy a place abroad, which I'm not right keen on, do you know? But obviously, it's going to be her money, so she'll do what she likes, won't she?
Fair enough. Where would that be then? Spain or something like that? Or
I don't know. She wants to go to Cyprus. She's never been to Cyprus.
Fair enough. Well, I'm off there in a fortnight.
Oh, are you? All right. Yeah. Send me some pictures and I can show her. But she's got her own hair salon. So one of the women that used to come in, she bought a place in Cyprus and told Paul how great it is. And now suddenly she decides she wants to go to Cyprus as well.
Fair enough.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a great island. It's really nice. So
yeah, I've never been.
I guess your next holiday will probably be Cyprus then.
Turkey.
Oh, Turkey.
I love Turkey. I went first time last year to Ismailia. What a place. Honestly, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. I've never been somewhere. I thought, wow, this is it, like, you know?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Just don't mention Turkey in Cyprus. That's the key thing.
No, I won't mention that then, no. Yeah.
as they've invaded and occupied the north.
Yeah.
So, but that's a whole other political argument that I'm not going to get involved with.
No.
Well, Alex, I think I've taken up enough of your time because you're on a night out up at Birch Services. So it's been great to catch up with you and sort of introduce or reintroduce yourself to the listeners, especially if there's any new listeners out there. So
I'll try to do a little bit of publicity on my socials for the podcast team and stuff like that. I'm putting some posters up and some stickers where I can. If you go into Immingham Dock to the Riverside and you use the thing, you'll probably see one of Matt's stickers on there. drawn a Hitler moustache on it or took it off.
I am waiting for the first photos to come through of a graffitied poster with me with four black teeth, a black eye, and some proper old school filters like we used to do at school.
I've got the LED screen thing, you know, at the dock where you book in.
Yeah,
I've done 1, 3, and 4. I just need to get onto number 2 tomorrow morning.
Fair enough.
A sticker on there as well.
Yeah, well, I was sent a photo by Phil Barton of the sticker on one of the terminals. So, so it is getting noticed, thankfully. So,
And if you're going to track 2 at Ulsterby truck stop, right, there's one of Matt. There's going to be Matt staring at you while you're on the toilet.
I don't know if I approve of that.
yeah, of course you do. You do, really, don't you?
There's no such thing as bad publicity. Let's put it like that.
No, that's it exactly. Yeah.
Fantastic. Anyway, Alex, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate, and we shall catch up with you, Jim, and Squeaky in the near future, hopefully.
All right, mate. Yep, good.
Fantastic.
Take care.
Speak to you soon.
Enjoyed this.
Lovely job.
All right, pal.
Cheers, mate. See you, mate.
See you later.
Bye.